Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Andrew P. Shea. Andy, how we doing this week?
Doing good, Jimmy. I'm doing good. Thank you, sir. How are you?
Very good. It feels like every week I'm talking about we're getting closer and closer to football season. And another indicator, the Big Ten Media Day was this week, Andy. I'm not sure how much information I expect to get out of those type of get-togethers, but to me it's more just a sign. It's an indicator we're getting close.
Yeah, I'm looking to read tea leaves during Big Ten Media Days. And particularly this year for Penn State, like there's so much known about this Penn State team, about, you know, the roster and the starters and, you know, a lot of the positions. There's not a lot of moving parts, despite all the, you know, matriculation, shall I use that word, to the NFL by a lot of talent. It's not a transition year for Penn State. So, you know, I'm looking for when at these type of things and this stuff before the season, I'm looking for things that sort of stand out to me, or reading a little bit about the tea leaves, or maybe a little something that you kind of already knew, but now you know for sure. So I find it fascinating, especially for a team that is, should have, better have. James talked about it, about winning championships at Big Ten Media Days, which I like that, by the way. That's an expectation. They understand that, but this team should have high expectations, and it absolutely needs to be a college football playoff team. That's the bottom line. So off we go.
Andy, it's interesting the way you put that. It is, you're exactly right. It is not a transition year.
No.
Next year, I suspect all summer we'll be talking about the transition year that is 2025. Let's stay with 2024. James Franklin met the media. What were your major takeaways?
So I have two, kind of one side, that one that'll fit each side of the ball. Talking about Abdul Carter, right? Like there was the revelation that it was going to be a position change, right? He was going to be a DN. And, you know, they had worked through that. They had talked about it. He said he was okay with it, yada, yada. Now, it wasn't even James hiding it. It wasn't him being coy. He basically said, no, yeah. During spring, he played defensive end and was learning the defensive end position. But as we approach the 2025 season, he's going to play both. He's going to be all over the freaking field, is basically what Franklin said. It'll be based on matchups, positional advantage type things. When I watch Micah Parsons play for the Dallas Cowboys, they move him around and just spend the entire game probing and looking for matchup advantages for him to take advantage of. That, I'm not saying Abdul Carter's Micah Parsons. I'm saying in the course of a game, that's exactly how I see him playing on the field for Penn State. He's going to be all over the place. He could be outside on either side. He could be inside. He could be playing pure linebacker. Heck, he might be dropping back and covering, right? So he'll cover off the defensive end. James wasn't even, you know, coy about it, which I really kind of liked. And he said one of the reasons is to make it hard for the opposing defenses to game plan against a special player like him. And he's 100% right. I'm guessing Tom Allen had a little to do with this, because Tom Allen is a big fan of the hybrid type player. He's really, really did a good job at Indiana. Guys that were, you know, kind of a tweener or two positions, not really a one position super stud, and turning them into a hybrid player. He's really good at it. And the skill set that Abdul Carter has is just going to be fun to watch. That grabbed me as a sort of like, yeah, we're not even hiding this. He's playing both. And he'll be all over the field.
Andy, we talked before we started recording, and we were talking about what our takeaways were. And I said, don't tell me ahead of time, because I want to see if what you think matches mine. that was like number one on my list, the conversation about Abdul Carter. And you're right. He didn't hide it, wasn't being coy about it.
Nope.
And I think we as fans and followers of the team are very happy to hear this, that that's what they did with Abdul Carter from the linebacker position, and now they're going to do it from the base of defensive end, but still going to move him around and create the advantages. So the opposing offense, I think you misspoke. You accidentally said the opposing defense, but opposing offense. No big deal. I'm sure everybody knew what you meant, but it was the opposing offenses are going to have to wonder, where is this guy? And they're going to have to account for him, and he's not going to be stationary. I thought that was very telling. Not a surprise in any way. Not a surprise, I think, to anybody. But I think as Penn State fans, you go, okay, good. We're happy to hear that. You said, go ahead.
I want to bring one last thing up. It doesn't mean that they're – it still means Abdul Carter has some work to do as a DN, right? Like, he's never played the position, particularly at this level. He's still got to be able to hold the edge on first down against a run and things like that. James wasn't talking about moving him because of, you know, they need somebody else there or there's somebody stronger against the run. This is all about Abdul Carter and getting that guy into open green football space to wreak havoc. And doing a little bit of dirty work is going to be required from him to get there. But I can't wait to watch it unfold because I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan. I don't like the Dallas Cowboys in any way, shape, or form. I don't really generally watch them because it just makes me go like NFL football, yuck. But I will watch the Cowboys on mute, by the way, just to watch them play defense and watch what they do with Micah Parsons. Not how Micah plays or do I like watching Micah Parsons play? Yeah. But I like how the chess game that they play with him and how he plays the game within the game. That's what I see Penn State doing with Abdul Carter.
Definitely. All right, Andy, you said you had two major takeaways. What was your other one?
Yeah, I was struck by what James said about offensive coordinator Andy Kotelnicki and sort of, you know, how, of course, he's going to say all the right things, and he did. But he basically kind of said he didn't want him coming in here and turning the apple cart upside down completely, right? Knowing that he had some major tools in his kit. And he said he was more focused, and so was Andy, on sort of closing the gap in their shortcoming. And James used the word explosiveness, right? Like the explosiveness on offense. They want to get more explosive on offense. And I know it's semantics. I think explosive is the wrong word because I think that's an unrealistic expectation, particularly when you're looking at one position group, which I'll mention in a minute. But I think they're looking for this offense to be a little bit more dynamic. And, you know, explosive out of this group and these receivers, I got to see it to believe it. But to me, dynamic means it needs to be more fluid, more cohesive, and it needs to have a clear identity. You've got to see a plan for the talent. You see some wrinkles from game to game. You see them making zigging and zagging in game with what they've got. That's what I think is next level for this offense, not being an explosive offense. But I think he was basically kind of laid out that we know what we got and that we know what we can do. Let's see what we can figure out, what we don't have and what we don't know we have and what we can do with that. And that was sort of what I think he put on Andy, is find a little bit of a next level for the guys we have, but we need to discover a little bit more to help them. And we can't upset the apple cart completely because we have a starting quarterback, two stud running backs, really good tight ends, and a good offensive line. So I found that fascinating.
I had that also down as one of my takeaways, but my angle on it might be a little bit different than yours. Well, first of all, I find it fascinating. Every time he talks about Andy Kotelnicki coming in, is, oh, it's not a new offense, just tweaking a bit. A lot was going to stay with what we had. And I think a little bit that is James Franklin being like a little bit defensive. It's him saying, oh, it's not like we were awful, like we were terrible, we were bad, and it needs to start from scratch. You know, I'm not sure very often. There's some definitive times when you see a new offensive coordinator come into a team. At Wisconsin, they said, okay, we are changing our identity. We are no longer going to be a ground and pound kind of team. You see, Georgia Tech, who gets a former coach from Army, and they turn into the triple option. And, well, right. Now that coach is gone. All right, it's a totally new offense. Because a lot of offenses do very similar things. So I don't think anyone totally, with those few exceptions, totally changes the offense. So, but James, I feel like he's a little bit defensive about that. But what I also find fascinating, and James does this all the time, where he did this in his discussions about, you know, Bo Prabula and how Penn State was more explosive in those last two games of the year when Mike Yurcich was no longer there. And it's like he takes his shots at Mike Yurcich. You know, it's like, well, we didn't do some of these things, take advantage of like a Bo Prabula for whatever reason. In other words, Mike Yurcich didn't do it.
Right.
And I think there's in the conversation with Andy Kotelnicki, I think there's a bit of that in it, that it's, all right, we expect Andy to do the things that Mike Yurcich didn't do. And that's going to be the difference this year. And that's okay. And I'm not sure, you know, dynamic, explosive, different words to use. But I think when we saw explosive plays doesn't mean you're just throwing the ball 40 yards down the field. And we saw that, to me, it's like, get some of our explosive players in positions to make explosive plays. I'm cherry picking a little bit, but that game against Michigan State, where you saw Nick Singleton out wide, like almost like a wide receiver screen, and he turns it into a 50-yard gain. Meanwhile, the pass itself, I'm not sure if it went 2 yards forward.
I would say, so the one difference I want to say is, last year, one thing I want to say real quick, last year's offense was not bad, Jimmy. It was good. I think this offense can be very good / great, and I think that's what James thinks and will expect from Andy. And I think the explosive plays is cherry picking, sir. I'm thinking of this offense going 4 plays, 62 yards, and bang, 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 2 or 3 times a game. That's what I'm looking for.
All right, Andy, that is it for quarter number one. We've got more to talk about from this week's Big Ten Media Days. We're going to do that when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking Penn State football. We're talking about Big Ten Media Day. James Franklin met the media. Just a handful of questions he took, but Andy, I was out of town, so I didn't see the actual interview live, but interestingly enough, I heard, obviously they don't just do their presentation in front of the whole media, which you see on Big Ten Network and so on. They'll also talk to different people. I think I heard them on my radio on ESPN answering some questions. So I'm going to be hitting a couple different areas from him. And I think it was, though, in his formal sit down with the media where somebody referenced his good to great to elite. Yes. And the questioner called it rant. Okay.
He called it I think he used the word like legendary rant or, something like that. He He was speaking over it admirably because it was so revealing and honest. The guy who asked the question. Right.
Well, but use the word rant. And again, I'm going by the transcript and you can't get the feel for it. So I don't know if James said this with a smile, a smirk, or a grimace. It wasn't a rant. It was a speech.
Yeah. That was a deadpan. If you're looking for how James responded, it was a deadpan response is the way I would call it. He just politely corrected the perception of, was it a rant or was it a speech? The questioner got to make his point. James took a moment to make his point.
Andy, now you're going to get Jim's interpretation. It was a rant.
It was definitely a rant. He was cooking. Yes. And I liked it. I kind of liked it because when he said it and the way he said it and the way it was presented after that, I'm like, well, he knows. He ain't wrong. He's not like coach speaking.
Andy, you know, we've analyzed and overanalyzed that rant for years. To me, you know, I want to talk about, you know, how he reacted to it this week. And I feel like this is a little bit, James could be a little thin-skinned and sensitive. So that's why I wanted to know how he said it. Like I said, did he say it with a smile or not? And because he can be a little bit sensitive to these things, and he never really answered the question of what they have to do to get from here to there. And he essentially was, we got to play better in big games. Well, James, you know, you don't need to be in a big time college football coach over the last decade to know this Penn State team needs to play better in big games.
Step one. Jimmy, I got a step one for you, Penn State fans, and in relation. Penn State in 2024 is one of those teams that is talked about favorably and consistently across the country as one of those benefiting or potentially benefiting greatly from the expanded playoffs, right? He's won 88 games in 10 years. They've had 10 win seasons, 11 wins, whatever. You know, New Year's Six Bowl appearances. They're one of the teams that are talked about as benefiting it. Step one, in year one, in step one, with this roster, you've got to get there. They have to get there, Jimmy. That, in order to kind of make that, whether it's a speech or a rant, go away, change the narrative, and you have to do something different. If this team underperforms and doesn't make the college football playoffs, that's not an indictment of the roster. That, to me, would be an indictment of James, and that would be one of the few times that I would say how this team performs this year is going to be a direct reflection on him. And I'm not big on doing that year to year, but I think this more than any other, especially coming off a year where your team underperformed, it's going to be right in his wheelhouse.
Well, and also as part of this, and maybe I'm nitpicking a little bit with this, but as a fan, when I hear him, and he mentioned this multiple times, at Penn State, we're one of the few teams we could win 10 or 11 games and the fans aren't happy.
He's right.
But we embrace that challenge, Andy. We embrace it. However, we're one of the few teams, so it's like, don't be offended, but I now go and offend you. You know, it's like James, he'll say, we're okay with it. Well, then stop mentioning it, James, that your fans are expecting too much. You had last season an opportunity. I think I've always defended James in these games like against Ohio State. Ohio State is most of the time the much more talented team.
Yep.
Last year, Ohio State was not a much more talented team, nor was Michigan. And as you pointed out to me, despite the scores, Penn State was not really competitive in those games. It's time to be not just competitive, but to win one of those. And the other part to this, and I know this is a little bit also, I am nitpicking, and it's coach speak, where he talked about having these four new teams in makes it a bigger challenge. No, James, no, it doesn't. In fact, this year, because of those four new teams, you don't have to play both Ohio State and Michigan. And guess what? The best of those four new teams is Oregon, and you don't have to play them either. If anything, James, if you do what you did last year, which is beat everyone that you're favored to beat and lose to the team that you're always predicted to lose, you'll be 11-1. So actually, you know, those four new teams coming in, they make things easier for you, James. You don't have two, you know, top five teams that you have to play against this year. You only have one of those. So it and again, that I should give him some slack there, because that's kind of coach speak. It's talk, you know. I saw Manny Diaz in his meeting with the media in the ACC. He spent a good portion of his time talking about how good the ACC is. Well, you know, that's a little bit of a self-serving comment from a new coach in the ACC, okay? Right. So but that's what you're going to hear.
Coach. He's been there as a head coach, so he knows a little bit, but yeah.
Of course he does, but, you know, it's just like James was complimenting the Big Ten, and he compared the Big Ten favorably to the Southeast Conference because, well, he knows because he coached in the Southeast Conference also. I suspect if James took a job in the Southeast Conference, he'd be telling us how that conference is the best in the country, Andy.
One of the other things James talked about, and this is boring, but he is right about this. He talked about them being in the Northeast and, you know, so far, you know, very deep in the Northeast. He talked about the travel, both to and from State College, right? Having to go out to the West Coast. West Coast teams having to come in. He kind of joked and said, you know, State College isn't an international airport, folks. I don't know. For those of you who've never traveled there for a game, you know it's not the easiest place to access. So he talked about doing a ton of studying with other college football programs and NFL teams that are going to the West Coast and overseas to Europe for games, to how to maybe navigate that. So that's the James part of it. And that was one of the, you know, things he was talking about when he referenced the new teams as well coming in. And he kind of talked about, you know, we're kind of in the middle of nowhere and we're not easy to get to. And he said that will be part of the learning curve for everybody this year. I kind of thought that was cool because I don't think anybody else really mentioned that.
It was, and it's, I think that's typical James to, he not only said, okay, here's a potential small issue and we're going to go study the heck out of it and figure out how best to deal with that. Now, it is true that Penn State being on the East Coast, when they travel, it's going to be a long trip to play USC. But then again, they only do it once, Andy.
Correct.
Those teams on the West Coast, they've got to make that kind of trip several times.
Four or five times, yeah.
You know, and it's
Midwest, East, yeah, it's tough.
And maybe this is just me, the cynical Jim coming out here. Yeah, James, I hope you're not spending too much time worrying about travel arrangements. I hope you're also spending a little time on getting your wide receivers open.
I'll take a little cream and sugar with my cynical Jim T right there. But, yeah, I like the devil in the details and thinking of it that way. But I could see you've got a little bit of, is this sort of the, you know, building in an excuse type thing? That's the cynical side. And I can see it. I get it. But, well, you know, I think it is part of the equation, Jimmy. I really do.
I understand that, Andy. And it's not me saying he's creating a built-in excuse. I guess I appreciate the fact that he's detail-oriented and he's worried about taking care of the little things. But let's not forget the big things, coach. You know, don't spend, you know, so much on the trivial and forget that, you know, the most important things is what happens on the field. And yep, I know that the travel coast to coast, you want your players to be in the best position. You want them well rested. Maybe it means getting there a day earlier, you know, taking care of those logistics. I understand that, Andy. I do. I get it. But sometimes I get the feeling, you know, analytical James overanalyzes some of the little things.
That's a fair point. I've never looked at it that way, Jimmy. I've never thought James is going too much devil in the details, but you make a fair point. I'm not going to disagree with you. Gosh, I hate myself for saying that.
Well, I think the problem with it, Andy, is sometimes, you know, when he doesn't need to express some of this stuff, like when he gave his rant about great to elite, he opened himself up for criticism that if he doesn't get his team from here to there, he's going to be questioned on it. And the fact is, they were at close to their James Franklin peak when he had that speech or rant. And what happened is the team actually went the other way, Andy. Yeah. They didn't go from great to elite. They went from great to kind of average for a couple of years. So that's the problem when you put yourself out like that. You know, if you talk about how tough the trip is to USC and then you go out there and get your butt kicked and your players are not running the correct routes, you open yourself up. All right, Andy, that's it. Quarter two, quarter three, we're back with Ask Andy.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Andy. We'll take your questions for Andy. If you want to send in a question, download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button. And there you go. All right, Andy, let's start with Eric in Ashburn, Virginia. Eric says, give me an area where during camp the coaching staff might be too comfortable with the roster, where it would be too easy to feel as if it won't be a concern, but in reality, it might be an area that needs strengthening or develop. Thanks, and love your work, Jim and Andy. Well, first of all, thank you for that, Eric. Where's an area that maybe we're all taking for granted? I think we're all saying, oh, a wide receiver, there's issues there.
Needs
what
work.
Else do we have to worry about?
Yeah, worry is maybe not the right term. So I'm thinking each side of the ball. I'll tell you where I went first. Where my tight end. That's where I went first. I went tight end. I think the tight end is going to be vital in this offense for Andy Kotelnicki, particularly early in the year. And James even kind of foreshadowed about, you know, getting some game and getting under their belt and getting it fully developed. And that's regular coach speak when he was talking about the offense. But I'm not saying I see the tight ends as maybe problematic, but I think they could be, that could be a very helpful. And if they don't get there, it could be a sticky wicket for Penn State. Cause the receivers are, the expectation is less than zero, right? Like, and that's just the way it should be and where it is. And I think you can have a higher expectation of the tight ends based on the way they performed and developed. And I think they're going to need that. So that is why I went to tight ends first. That was the one that struck me first. I had one on each side of the ball, but I'll land on tight ends for you, Jimmy. That's a really good question, Eric. Do they have Tyler Warren? Yeah. Is Tyler Warren a stud? Yeah. Do they have a lot of talent behind him? Yeah. Are we going to see that? And can it be realized sooner than later? That would be a My concern is that can they be that impact right away? Because I have a funny feeling Penn State might need a little bit of it.
Andy, I'm not nearly as concerned about the tight ends as you are. I'm like, they've earned our respect. They've earned the benefit of the doubt. They have, as you said, Tyler Warren is an absolute stud coming back. Yep. I think Dinkins will get more of an opportunity. He hasn't played enough for us to just be 100% sure. But then they have a couple youngsters coming in. In Andrew Rapelier, who has a year under his belt. Luke Reynolds, the true freshman. I have no concern about the tight ends. I'll give you my two very quickly. I think offensive tackle, because you're losing two studs there, you know, and you conditioned your offense to think of that or feel that and game plan that way. And my one spot on defense, I will say, is cornerback, which is very analogous to the tackles. You lost so much talent. It feels like there's a lot of talent there, especially from the transfer portal and a couple guys coming back. It's their time. So I it's not like, oh my goodness, panic city about those two positions, but I think we can't take them for granted.
I think the tackle could be a small step backwards before it goes forward. That to me is expected. And the cornerback one was the one on the defensive side of the ball that I landed on as well. I think Terry Smith's really good at his job. So I'm not as, I don't, you know what
that
I mean?
That helps, like, you feel better.
That kind of helps a little bit. And they got two really good transfers. And I think they have two guys that they've developed who are ready. So I think you'll see that. But the tackle position, you're right. But I fully expect there to be a step or two back, maybe early, before you kind of see it maybe take a step or two forward and be somewhere in the zip code, not anywhere. Somewhere near or around the zip code of last year would be a very good step forward for the offensive tackle position.
Okay. Andy, let's go to Craig in Berwick. All right. That should be a little bit of a hint to you there. Hey, Andy, just wanted to let you know how wrong you are with your take on the whiteout. Big Ten should definitely make sure that they accommodate Penn State for the game. Jim is right. Now, Andy, should I point out that Craig is my golfing buddy?
Yeah, you can go ahead and point that out because it makes
sense. Part of the story.
You both are wrong. that just means you guys are teammates. Hey, he's a good teammate, right? Craig, you're a darn good teammate for Jim. That doesn't mean you're right, but that makes you a really good teammate, and I respect that. That's okay.
Craig actually called me to point that out, Andy. He said, Jim, I listened to your episode with Andy talking about the whiteout, and I couldn't disagree with Andy more. So I thought you needed to hear that. All right, let's go to the non-Berwick category of questions. Let's go with Frank in Gettysburg, who said, Andy, would you ever consider using Bo Perbula for an entire possession? Allow him to get some rhythm going with the offense.
Good question, Frank. I'll be honest with you. I expect to see that this year.
Ooh, that
I do.
Andy, let me stop you there. That is a bold take, my friend.
I expect Andy, and part of what James is looking for him to sort of bring out of this offense, one of the players, like I mentioned earlier, they're taking what they have and maybe isn't quite as known. There is a little bit of a known element to Bo coming in and do what he does in situations. I think a little bit of next level, and I'm 100% sure Drew Aller doesn't see this as a threat in any way, shape, or form. It's not that way. I expect to see that. I think that could help Penn State. I think there is a sort of, I'm not talking rotating quarterbacks. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm not, because if you have two, you don't have one. I agree with that. But I also think two can be better than one if used properly. Look at the running back position. Jaywan Sider knows how to juggle that thing. And I think Andy needs to figure that out a little bit at the quarterback position with these two guys. Because as James said last year about 100 times, they bring two distinctly different energies and talent groups and opportunities to the table. They do. We saw it last year at a bowl. Take advantage of that opportunity and stretch it a little bit more. I expect it. I want to see it. I think it could not be helpful, but for Bo Pribula, I think it could bring a dimension to this Penn State offense that helps it become more cohesive.
Andy, here's how I look at it, and I'm going to look at it from last year's perspective, where there were games where the Penn State offense was struggling. And by the way, it was not just Michigan and Ohio State where we saw those struggles. There were a couple other games that, because Penn State's defense was so good, the opposing team's offense was so incompetent, you didn't really notice because Penn State eventually had so many possessions, the defense helped them out, Penn State scored. I would have liked to have seen that happen last year in various games. And I'm going to point out something that you may not agree that it's the perfect analogy, but in the Penn State-Michigan game, from Michigan's perspective, now they didn't change quarterbacks, but they completely changed how they were playing the game.
Correct.
They saw, we can't pass the ball. We can't drop our quarterback back. He's going to get killed. They ran the ball 17 straight times, okay? So my point to that analogy is sometimes you need to change it up, change the look. You got to be different, give the defense something else to look at. Now, I think if Andy Kotelnicki comes in and the offense just turns and works really, really well, hey, fine. You don't need to take Drew Aller out. But if the offense is struggling, hey, how about throwing a changeup out there, Andy?
Yeah, you're right. And I think James kept saying it last year, and Mike Yersin simply didn't hear the message or wasn't keen on adhering to trying to do what James wants. They are different. They are a completely different set of skill sets. And I want to see that used. Bo can bring something that Drew doesn't have. Drew Aller does 95 things better as a quarterback than Bo Pribula. There's 5 things Bo Pribula does that not many quarterbacks can do. Take advantage of that. That's the way I see it.
All right, let's sneak one more question in. Let's go to Dave in Port Matilda, who says, I have a great fear of the West Virginia game. On the road for an opener in a hostile environment, and I also think that a loss there would essentially knock this team out of the playoffs.
Dave, you should be concerned. West Virginia finished strong, did better than they did. They were a different football team than they were when Penn State played them last year. Yes, and it's going to be a road game in Morgantown. It's going to be a tough football game. Here's the thing to remember, though. Penn State's the more talented team. Make it so. And they're in those scenarios in these early games. Purdue a couple years ago, West Virginia last year, you knew Penn State was better. Man, did they make it so? They proved that, oh man, they've got a ton of talent and it's all realized and it's up front. If they can make that so, they'll win this football game. It won't be easy, but they're the better team. Make it so.
Andy, I'm glad you brought up Purdue that 2 years ago. Penn State was the much better team than Purdue. But when you make it the opener, you have a national television audience. The home team doesn't realize yet that they're not a great team, okay?
Right.
By midseason, Purdue would have learned they're not that good a team. But for the opener, they were not aware of that. West Virginia doesn't know in that opener that Penn State's the more talented, better team. The crowd will be engaged. It will be a ruckus crowd. I'm with you, Dave. I am concerned about this game. And I do also think, yeah, this could end their playoff hopes right there. So big game for the opener. Andy, we got more to go when we come back for quarter number four.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. Andy, we took a break from our discussion of Penn State meets the media with ask Andy, but I want to get back to it. There are a few other points. And just as an aside, last week we had a question from Daniel from Bell Vernon. He asked us to analyze the Penn State assistant coaches, position coaches, which we were planning on doing, but I want to give that more than one segment, Andy. So we'll do that next week, Daniel. Don't worry, we will get to it. I want to get back to some more reaction to some of the things that were said during media day for the Big Ten. James Franklin was there, a couple things that he talked about. And one of our Ask Andy questions was about Bo Prabhula. And James was asked about Bo Prabhula and his where he'll be, how much of a factor he's going to be in the offense. And he left no doubt Bo Prabhula is part of the game plan. And he again gave the talk about last season in those last two games. We used Bo more and we had more explosive plays. There you go. So you're definitely going to see that with Andy Codel, Nicky.
Yeah. Bo Prabhula has forced James Franklin and the Penn State coaching staff to figure out a way to use him more. I think just by being sort of the quarterback he is and being comfortable in his own skin and knowing what he is and who he is and what he can and obviously sometimes what he can't do, he's forced there a little bit, not intentionally, but I think he's forced the Penn State coaching staff's hand to figure out a way, look, we got this kid. We got to figure out a way to get him on the field. He's not our starting quarterback. If he's a starting quarterback, if something happens to Drew Aller, it's a little bit of a problem for Penn State, let's be honest, right? But in the role with Drew Aller as your entrenched, starting quarterback, this guy plays a role, Jimmy. You've got to have him doing that because Penn State's offense is looking for help, right? They're talking about the way James talks, the way Andy talks. They're looking for a few good men. They're not looking for the best ones. They're looking for the right ones, right? Sometimes you hear that. That's a great phrase I love to use. I'm not looking for the best ones. I'm looking for the right ones. Guess what? In this sort of offense, and Andy's not going to turn the apple cart upside down. In this offense, Bo Prabhula is not the best one, but he is one of the right ones. And I think he's forced them to figure out better ways to employ him to help them. And I think he can because he's just so simplistically confident. How's that for a word? He knows exactly who he is, Jimmy. He knows exactly what he wants to do and what he can do and what he can't do. And he's like, I'm good with that. This is what I got.
Andy, I'm in agreement that Bo Prabhula could and should be a factor on the team. But I think there's also some unspoken factors in all of this. In this day and age where quarterbacks do not stick around, backup quarterbacks really do not stick around. And I read a statistic somewhere that was stunning, and I'm not going to find the number, the exact percentage, but it talked the majority of quarterbacks who come in and spend the first 2 years in a program and don't start, they're more likely than not to leave the program. Okay. So if you don't make Bo Prabhula part of the program, you risk losing him. And I know there's no rumors or anything about him leaving. I know he's a Pennsylvania kid, wants to be at Penn State. However, you still reach the point, if you never think you're going to see the field, you're going to look at other opportunities. The other part to this is, if Bo Prabhula were to leave, injuries happen. I was listening again to more of the Big Ten media days, and I happened to catch Matt Rhule, and they were asking him, he's got this stud freshman quarterback, Dylan Riola, I believe his name is. And they were asking about quarterback play, will he start, whatever. And Matt Rhule was like, you need more than one quarterback ready. This is the Big Ten, okay? Yeah. Stuff happens. Guys get hit. So if Drew Aller gets hit somewhere and needs to miss a game or two, it's important to have Bo Prabhula ready. And you know what? That's your prospective starter for 2025, Andy. You don't want him going anywhere. You want to make sure he feels like he's a part of this team and a part of the offense, along with the fact that he's a weapon and could help you out.
Yeah, and the last thing I think when I think about Bo Prabhula is how. Like, how do you – where, how, what are your things that you do? I expect to see him for full series. I think one of the things they'll be working on and that Andy's kind of been brewing on is I think you're going to start close to the where it matters the most, and that's the red zone. I think they're going to try and make him part of their red zone offense in some way, shape, or form. That's just a guess on my part, instinctual.
That's what they did late in the season last year, so it wouldn't be a surprise. Let me throw something else at you that James Franklin brought up, and that's having a returning quarterback very much helps. And if you look at the Big Ten, and we did this a couple weeks ago on one of our other shows, there's like no other returning quarterbacks. It's not the case at Ohio State. It's not the case at Oregon. It's not the case at Michigan. USC. Those are the at USC. Those are the teams that really matter. But it's also the case for the other schools, Andy. I don't know if there's even another Big Ten team that has a returning starter. How important is that?
Good question, Jimmy. I think – so he's changing offensive coordinators. So that's my caveat to it, right? That's sometimes addition by subtraction is a good thing. It feels like it just felt like last year, other than the West Virginia game, that Drew wasn't sold on what Mike Yurcich was trying to sell him on this offense. He was trying because he was a first year starter. It wasn't him like, riding a bucket horse and fighting him every step of the way. I just don't think inherently he believed in holistically what he was doing and who he was on that field as a starting quarterback. I think he has to find that first, right? I think in some way, shape, or form, I'm going to go with the 80-20 rule. There's a 20% that I would hold back on, but I think the 80% is like he knows his way around. He knows what he's doing. He just has to figure out how to be a better version of him inside the offense. And I think he will. I think he's that good. I think he's that smart. I think he's that dedicated. I think he's that committed. And that is what can really be an advantage for Penn State if he figures that out sooner than later.
Well, I do think there was a bit of a lack of confidence that Drew Aller had in the offense, in the wide receivers. You know, it's kind of like, hey, here's what you're selling, and it ain't working. And, and I've heard from multiple sources, and these are the kind of things you hear second and third hand, Andy, that Mike Yurcich didn't have the greatest of relationship with his quarterbacks. I make that plural over the couple years here. Again, lack of success creates those kind of things. Not necessarily that those kind of things create lack of success. So, take it with a grain of salt, and it's easy to put blame on the guy who's no longer there. So, but I think that's all part of the conversation. I do believe that there is something to having a returning quarterback. He's now seen everything. I think there will be a difference in Drew Aller, and I think that will be helpful for him. Let me bring up another question was about Julian Fleming. And I'm always fascinated by the answers when talked about with Julian Fleming. I almost feel like James Franklin, he has an index card. You know, it's like a politician. If you ever hear, you hear immigration brought up, this is the answer. Doesn't matter what the question is, here's the answer.
Right.
And with Julian Fleming, it's, he talks about being familiar with him, obviously, during the recruiting process. He talks about him coming back with a chip on his shoulder. But he also mentions, this time he explained it as, he's lean and explosive and fast right now. I think that there was this always, Julian Fleming is a bigger wide receiver. And I think when he first came in, Penn State thought they needed to do something. They needed to help him become faster or more explosive. And they feel like perhaps they improved that aspect of his game.
So when he talks about Julian Fleming, and there were, you are accurate in what you said. The other thing he said was he used the word healthy when he talked about him being leaner and more explosive. He said the word healthy. I think that mattered. I like the fact that he said he came in here. Yeah, he has a chip on his shoulder, but he came in and he sort of shut up and went to work, right? Like, that's what he did. He just came in and went to work. And I think the only thing that I think James leaves out when he talks about Julian Fleming is he's a professional. Like, the guy has become a pro at his craft. He says everything around it. I'm like, just say he's a pro. He's a pro's pro, right? At the college level. He's a pro's pro, because that's the way I see him, is he's a pro's pro. And he came in and sort of earned his stripes. He had some inherent advantages because of the recruiting and his proximity to Penn State. But I'm getting the feeling that James said you wouldn't have known that if you didn't know it. In other words, what we saw was not any of that. And I think he's a pro's pro. He will help this offense. He will help this offense immensely.
And I think the other part of it, that it doesn't get spoken about directly but separately, Lambert Smith was the leader of the wide receiver room last year. I just get the sense he was not a great leader in that room. I get the sense they feel like Julian Fleming is that, Andy, which is good news for that whole room. One other note that he gave was that an injury update, which those are precious. We don't get those very often. But he talked about Zariah Fisher, Jackson Smolak, and Keon Wiley, who all had significant injuries, but we're never told what they are. A few of them, you know, we actually know what they are, Andy, but James does not make that public. But he did say that all of them were expected back at some point this season, which is good news. You always hate to see guys who are out with a major injury miss an entire season. Back sometimes during the season, what does that mean?
Who knows?
Who knows, Andy? Especially when we're, you know, the nature of the injuries are such guarded secrets. All right, Andy, that is it for this show. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.